point sign.
Jeremy in Kentucky here on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, send much needed fundage. Keep Free Speech Alive. This is your Thursday night broadcast calling all Gen Xers. And this is your broadcast where we bring on the ultimate red pillar, the heavyweight champion of all red pills.
I must break you.
The heavyweight red pill champion, the Simon to my Simon, William Repellum. Welcome to my show.
Jeremy, you brought back memories there. You always come bring back the classic, Simon and Simon. And then when I listened to that tonight again, I remembered it. From when I was a kid watching that on TV.
Thursday night broadcast, I believe on CBS. Good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, we have tonight? Thursday night?
Yeah. That was a Thursday night thing.
Jeez, man.
And then Friday night.
I have memory for stuff like that, and I didn't remember that. But that sounds right.
Yeah.
Tuesday or Thursday.
Friday night, you had like Friday night, 7 p.m. was the Incredible Hulk. And then 8 p.m. was Dukes of Hazzard. Or maybe I got that backwards. Maybe it was Dukes of Hazzard and then Incredible Hulk.
Dallas and then Falcon Crest.
Yeah. And then 1984, you had Miami Vice come in at 9 p.m.
Right.
So that was a thing. Childhood memories. It makes us forget about the current paradigm of complete and utter Jewish government repression on our freedom of speech with this new anti-Semitism bill coming in. Did we really ever have a First Amendment? It's been gone for a while. Was it ever really a thing? Mike Gaddy would say no. The House rushes through an insane working definition of anti-Semitism bill, which says that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Any criticism of Israel or Jewish power whatsoever is now illegal. Therefore, this show is illegal. How does it feel to be illegal, William?
So this is how it is already in Europe. Now the next step is to get it done here. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights being sort of like a smokescreen sham, sort of, you know, like an amortization. Like it's like, how do I explain? Like, you know what I mean? You're amortizing the right away from, you know, into, like it starts out, the United States being a launching pad for these Jews to escape from Europe and escape what they call religious persecution, which is just Europeans saying no more of your, you know, criminal behavior. And then them coming over here, us forgetting about our history with them, and them taking over everything, including all the media mind control facilities, and through all means. And now that they've launch themselves to power, it's the dismantling of the Bill of Rights, and coming in basically bowing down to the United Nations. And so I sent over this, I don't watch Paul Joseph Watson very often, but I open up BitChute tonight, what are we going to talk about? And this is the first video that was in my feed, so it's 8 minutes long. It's got a minute and a half commercial in it that I'd like to skip, but if we have time to listen to it. But I did take all – I basically got the gist of it and took all the tweets that he had in it. But, this is just the most ludicrous bill, and it's now passed through the House. So the only hope – well, is it the Senate – obviously Joe Biden will rubber stamp it. I don't know what power the Republicans have in the Senate. They didn't do their job in the House. They got bought off or whatever happened. So I don't have much hope for the Senate.
This is a working definition of anti-Semitism, which lines up with the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. And this is actually the right wing of the Republicans would fully support this, because this is in response to students on college campuses all over the U.S. Demonstrating against genocide of Palestinian people. So this is a response to the left. And, you know, this bill had huge bipartisan support, like 320 to 91. It passed. It's Mike Lawler's bill. Lawler tweeted on the platform known as X. He says, "I'm proud that my bill, the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, just passed the House of Representatives 320 to 91. This bill has broad bipartisan support and will begin the process of cracking down on the anti-Semitism we've seen run rampant on college campuses across America." I mean, they're already arresting these kids and dragging them off in zip ties. This just makes it official. So officially, you can't criticize Israel, even if you're a BLM Antifa supporting leftist, because most of these students 4 years ago would have been protesting and rioting in the George Floyd summer of fentanyl and crack and burning buildings down, causing violence. These are the same people. And now they're turning on their own Jewish masters. They're turning on the very people that supported them. So this is a bill that sort of cracks down on that. But the Republicans will wholeheartedly support it. I mean, that's a thing, because the Republican right-wing Trump supporter stance is that we support Israel no matter what. Sean Hannity, rah, 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 Fox News, boomers, Israel, our greatest ally ever. So this is no surprise. It's no surprise at all. But just to answer your question, it is a response to these leftist students demonstrating on college campuses. It's basically just encoding it into law that it's perfectly fine to arrest them and do violence to them with police intervention. Hard power. So you got this clip loaded up. Is it ready to go?
Yeah, I think so. It's up to Mike.
Michael.
He pulled out.
Let's play it if we can.
Did the U.S. Congress actually just pass a bill that outlaws criticism of Israel? Even reading Bible passages? Is this the most egregious violation of the First Amendment we've ever witnessed? It's called the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. But how does it define anti-Semitism? Surely with a law of this magnitude, it would tell you in the actual bill, right? It doesn't tell you in the actual bill. Instead, it defers to definitions created by a group called the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance. And this is where it gets interesting. According to their definitions, anti-Semitism includes applying double standards by requiring Israel to behave in a way not expected from other democratic nations, and comparing Israeli policy to that of the Nazis. Right, so criticizing Israel. It gets more disturbing when you learn that the IHRA, the group behind these definitions, has routinely been accused of conflating legitimate criticism of Israel or Zionism with anti-Semitism. Outlawed speech will include claims about Jews killing Jesus. So, Bible passages then. What are you talking about? None of that stuff's in the Bible. Yeah. It is, though, isn't it? In the letters of Paul, which are regarded by historians as the oldest works in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians 2:14-15, the Jews who killed the Lord Jesus. Similar claims feature prominently in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and specifically within the best-known Gospel, Matthew 26:57-68, where the Jewish high priest concludes that Jesus is guilty of blasphemy and asks the Jewish council what the penalty should be. They answered, he deserves death. This is all from a Jewish website, by the way. Now, I'm no religious scholar, but this isn't about whether the Romans or the Jews killed Jesus. It's about whether this anti-Semitism bill will outlaw Bible passages. And since their definition of anti-Semitism is claiming that Jews killed Jesus, and since such claims are definitely in the Bible, we can only conclude that yes. Yes, it will. A bad day for America's Judeo-Christian values, given that the former is banning key texts from the latter. Oh yeah, and if claims about Jews killing Jesus are set to become hate speech, they might have to ban the Talmud, because it's in there too. In Sanhedrin of the Babylonian Talmud, it says, Jesus was put to death by a Jewish court for the crimes of sorcery and sedition. And similar claims also appear in popular Jewish folk literature. Other definitions of anti-Semitism, which under this new law will become illegal, include talking about Jewish power interests controlling the media, government, or economy, calling Israel racist. Yes, that's actually in there. And accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or to the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than to the interests of their own nations.
If I speak, I am in big trouble.
All of that will be outlawed. It will be illegal to say it in America. And you won't just get a slap on the wrist, you'll be federally prosecuted. Businesses and educational institutions will be hit with crippling sanctions. This is literally the imposition of European-style hate speech laws in the United States. Now do you see why so many conservatives are up in arms about it? Only 21 Republicans voted against this bill, with Thomas Massie being one of its chief critics, as well as MTG, who said the bill could lead to the arrest of Christians who believe the gospel that says Jesus was handed over to Herod to be crucified by the Jews. Matt Gaetz said the gospel itself would meet the definition of anti-Semitism under the terms of this bill. Imagine if Marjorie Taylor Greene had introduced an anti-whiteism bill or an anti-Christianism bill. She'd be laughed out of town. Federal law already prohibits anti-Semitism. Discrimination and harassment. So why the need for this new law? And why are they deferring to all these weird sweeping new definitions of anti-Semitism created by this shadowy internationalist NGO? Why does an organization which isn't even based in America and works with the UN, the Council of Europe and the EU get to decide what words come out of Americans' mouths?
We dare to stand up and say we don't believe in thought police. We don't believe that a bill should be brought to the floor of the United States House of Representatives, having not gone through committee, that has a reference in it to international organizations' definitions, literally in the statute, and then taking that international organization's definition, and then literally in the statute, representing and referencing the examples of anti-Semitic behavior.
Incredible how these two parties can't find common ground on anything except the need to send money to Ukraine and make criticizing Israel a crime. One person who's been noticeably reticent to criticize or even talk about the bill is Ben Shapiro, but not so much his Daily Wire colleague Matt Walsh, who might be asking Candace Owens to hold the exit door open for him before too long. The vast majority of Republicans just voted for a bill to criminalize criticisms of the Israeli government. If the bill passes, you will be guilty of hate speech if you apply double standards to the government of Israel or accuse it of genocide. This is honestly one of the most insane pieces of legislation I've ever seen. Michael Knowles expressed similar views. At this rate, the Daily Wire is going to end up seeing more staff clear their desks than Lehman Brothers employees back in 2008. Apparently, though, if you oppose the banning of criticism of Israel or Bible passages, you're basically in league with these people. Hey, right-wing anti-Semites, are you okay? Haven't seen you around lately. It must be crushing to realise that you're on the side of the sick pronoun people and everyone in the West you think you represent is against you. Hopefully you learn from this and start to support Israel. Retweeted by Ben Shapiro. So, according to this galaxy brain logic, if you don't gleefully endorse sending billions upon billions of your hard-earned cash to help fuel Israel's endless wars, if you don't support hate speech laws, which basically outlaw criticism of Israel, if you don't get fully behind legislation that authorizes federal prosecution for reciting Bible passages, you're a woke, shitlib, pro-Palestine, pro-BLM, far-leftist, anti-Semite who hates America. Well, that escalated quickly, didn't it?
Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, this
So first of all, the whole concept of anti-Semitism is just a hoax. I mean, no one has hated Jewish people for no reason at all. Okay, there's a reason why they were kicked out of these hundreds of countries throughout history. It's the behavior. It's their behavior that people dislike and criticize. And so, you know, in conjunction with the IHRA, the International Holocaust Remembrance Alliance, in conjunction with their definition, it's basically saying you can't disagree with the behavior of Jews. You can't criticize them, their behavior. And if any other group of people, whether it be ethnic, religious, or political, if any other of these groups behave like this, they would come under harsh criticism. Any other group of people that bombed hospitals and maimed children, they would come under harsh criticism by the global community. But you can't do this because these are Jewish people. And this is proof that they have America by the short hairs, by this bill coming forward. And I have no doubt that it will pass. All right. I have no doubt that it will pass. So it's basically, you know, recognizing Jewish behavior is now a crime, and will be when this bill passes. I'll kick it over to you, William.
Yes, they've been building up to it. So, you know, I remember looking 5 years ago at the State Department definition of anti-Semitism, right? So I can pull that up right now. State Department definition of anti-Semitism, and it will say these ridiculous things that Paul Joseph Watson was talking about. Okay, so here's the list of them. Right, so calling for, aiding, or justifying the killing or harming of Jews in the name of radical ideology. That's fine. Okay, so making mendacious, dehumanizing, demonizing, or stereotypical allegations about Jews, such or the power of Jews as a collective, such as especially but not exclusively the myth about a world Jewish conspiracy or of Jews controlling the media, economy, government, or other societal institutions, which is true. It's just the truth, right? So remember, like, if you deny the Holocaust, they have said in court that it doesn't matter what the truth is. The matter is that you broke the law that's set in place of calling attention to it. So this is that. This is what they set up before. You know, now Paul Joseph Watson, you know, rightly mentioned that there's already anti-discrimination laws in place to protect Jews from, you know, I mean, let's say white people wanted to have their own society and exclude Jews from it. That would be already against the law. So now the next step is criminalizing the speech and using the premise that they laid out before. These state definitions. Here you go. Denying the fact scope mechanisms, for example, gas chambers, or intentionally of the genocide of the Jewish people at the hands of National Socialist Germany and its supporters. So Holocaust denial is going to be considered. All right.
How about pointing out unsealed wooden doors with 2-inch gaps under them? And no pipes of delivery or you know, exhaust of the gas. That would be back on the other side of the break with William and Jeremy.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
So we're talking about the Yankee Symptom Bill. And it's a largely a knee-jerk reaction in response to college leftists protesting on campuses all over America. It's going to give these colleges room to discipline students, to continue bringing in hard force to stop protests. And it's been in the works for a while. They anticipated this as we were talking in the break, William. You mentioned that this thing was already in the works. It's not something that just threw together last minute in response. It really wasn't a knee-jerk reaction. I think way back when Israel started genociding Palestine that this was put together because they anticipated the backlash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and then would control it too. I mean, there's the Jewish groups controlling the protests of it, so they get a benefit out of having the protests. If the Jews can make the protests big enough, organize them and do what they know how to do, right, they can get the dupes over on the right wing to support, you know, shutting down speech and doing whatever it takes to protect their best friend Israel. And this to me just seems like it's if this one thing, okay, on the right, all right, the left, they're just lunatics, okay, all their stuff, everybody knows it's crazy, it's not sustainable, none of it, all of the things they support, they're just, you know, disgusting, degenerate things. All right, so now on the right, They support everything. All right, this, you can agree with them all you want to. You want to live in the right-wing state, right? You want to you can hang out with these folks. You just, you know, for the most part, you agree with them on stuff. But when it comes to this Israel thing, and they're just stupid. I mean, just so stupid, man. I mean, just wanting, just making your, having no clue. You know, that's why this book is so important. This Who is Edom, Esau, Edom, because it just goes right, I think, to the root of the deception, you know?
Yeah. That analysis of the right wing is point on, because, you know, the same people on the right that are against immigration, they're against child trannies and homo marriage, these people are fully in support of Israel and the genocide. Whereas now the attack is coming on the left. You know, remember in 2015, 2016 in the Trump campaign, it was the right wing that was the threat to Jewish power, with even questioning these Middle Eastern wars and taking an American protectionist stance, trying to bring jobs back. That was seen as a right-wing threat. Now we're seeing a left-wing threat to Jewish power. They're responding in kind, and it's getting total support of the right wing. This is indicative that full support of the Jewish system is going towards Trump and the election this year to bring Trump in, to bring the right wing in power, because the left and the Democrat Party is in shambles right now, because their core. Their core constituents are supporting these college protesters. And there's literally no one in the Democrat Party. There's no one that represents them. No one represents these college students at all. They're totally disenfranchised politically. So I see a structured shift of Jewish power to the right wing, and possibly Trump presiding over a war with Iran. Because he is an ultimate Jewish shill.
Yeah, I mean, you got the Jewish NGOs that support the left wing, and you have the Squad, right? And I don't know the state of them, but they were coming out, and I don't know if they've been put in check. I haven't paid attention, but
it's not a total. Turn against the left wing. I mean, they're still going to support child trannyism and immigration and homo marriage, but they're going to come down on this particular issue that the left has taken up against genocide in Palestine. So all the other stuff is still on the table. They're not coming totally against the left. And this is going to make the right wing take, you know, two steps forward and 20 steps back. And the right wing is going to support Israel and then capitulate to immigration, child trannyism, and all that. It's sort of bringing the whole thing. It's sort of pulling the mask off. There's really not two parties, right? At the end of the day, there's just one party that's the Jewish party that controls both the Democrats and the Republicans. They just happen to be cracking down on this particular sect of the left that's stepping out of line right now.
It's all just a big show, Jeremy.
All right, we'll be back on the other side with more commentary and your calls. Inside.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
So, William, you had a few things to address before we get to our esteemed callers. Kick it to you, my friend.
Okay. Thanks, Jeremy. Yeah, just continuing with the list. I got a few more. Accusing the Jews, this is for the state definition of anti-Semitism set up years ago. All right, I looked it up in 2018, and I was going, oh, boy, okay, the Nexus are going to criminalize it. Well, here we are. H.R. 6090, where we are, where we're at now. Accusing the Jews as a people, or Israel as a state, of inventing or exaggerating the Holocaust. Well, that is what happened. Okay, it's provable. Okay, so, but it doesn't matter what the truth is. Okay, the next one. Accusing Jewish citizens of being more loyal to Israel or the alleged priorities of Jews worldwide than the interest of their own nations. They're commanded to do this. Okay? Their rabbis say they're commanded to do this. Where do we... Let me find the example of the recent example. But even the more or less recent is Theodore Herzl, the father of Zionism, the godfather of Zionism, saying that that is the Jews, that is what you're supposed to do exactly. So now they make a state definition saying accusing them of doing it. You guys realize how you guys over on the right that support Israel need to wake up and look at this, okay? You need to do it, all right? I need to call in, oh, there's God's chosen people, so we have to just support them with without question, even to our own demise, because that's what God, no, it's not what it says in the Bible. Read your Bible. That's not what it says in the Bible. That's the whole problem, is that you're not actually reading the Bible. Okay, accusing Jewish citizens of being, okay, denying the Jewish people their right of self-determination by claiming existence of a state of Israel is a racist endeavor. Okay, so now they've tied in. If you say that the existence of the state of Israel is a racist endeavor, which it is, it's a genocidal endeavor is what it is. They've gone in and genocided the people that were already there. They said they weren't going to do that, and they did that, and they haven't been punished for it. And so if you deny, if you point that out, then you're denying the Jewish people their right to self-determination. How do you make that connection? That's not a connection you can make. All right, applying double standards by requiring it a behavior. Now, I don't know what that means. Using the symbols, images associated with classic anti-Semitism. Okay, right. So if you put a swastika, okay, or Jews killing Jesus, or blood libel. Blood libel, also another thing that happened in Europe. Okay, so it doesn't matter if these things actually happen or you can prove them. You can't even bring them to the table in the first place because it's against the law. So this is exactly what happened with everybody who's denied the Holocaust in Europe already. You can't even bring evidence to the table. The lawyer will be prosecuted if that happens, right? Folks,
very
waking up out there.
Very communitarian. Very communitarian.
Holding Jews collectively responsible for actions of the state of Israel. Well, I mean, isn't criticizing the state of Israel, let's go back up here where it says criticizing the state of Israel is anti-Zionism, which they say is anti-Semitism, so you can't even do that in the first place.
Yeah, it's this whole thing is bringing the global community in together to enforce these laws on their neighbors, because the governments of the West can't totally enforce them by themselves. Again, the real takeaway from this resolution, this bill, is to give college campuses room to persecute these students. But there's a broader picture here of people in your own community enforcing these things on you and reporting you. You could be reported by your neighbor or your family member for things that you say and criticisms of the Israeli genocide. That's definitely a takeaway. And then my last thing is these Christian Zionists will support this bill to their own detriment, because they'll not even be able to read their own Bible in their own churches if this comes to fruition. That's the last thing I've got.
Yeah. So then you wonder, the ones that are like go along with it and say, okay, it's like they'll just say, oh, well, we'll just leave those texts out. We're cool with not doing that. Remember those Christians that if you deny Jesus Christ ever lived, right? We did a comparison. Somebody did a comparison, not we did, but somebody talked to a Christian, and then when they said, okay, the Holocaust didn't happen, the Christian went nuts. The Christian was okay with them. Oh, well, that's your, it's your point of view. You don't think Jesus existed, but the Holocaust didn't happen. Uh-oh.
Acts 14:2, but the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. That passage is now illegal.
Ah.
So just cut it out. Cut it out of your Bible and your sermons, Christian Zionists. Just cut all of it out. Just remove from the Bible and have the curses put on you.
Well, look, and the Christians, even the evangelical Christians, know that the Bible will soon be outlawed. Okay, so now who's at the center of outlawing the Bible now? It's very clear who it is. So if the Christian Zionists don't get it by now, man.
They're not going to. Do you want to go to the call screen?
Yeah, sure. But I'll say this real quick, that in 2017, when somebody posted, the evangelical Christians, there's a special place in hell for evangelical Christians. I blew a gasket because I had no idea what she was talking about. Now I do. I didn't ever confirm it, but I'm pretty sure she was referring to Christian Zionists, you know, supporting the state of Israel and the genocidal state of Edom. It's not the state of Israel, folks. It is the Edomite state. The state of Israel is the body of Jesus Christ and the Christian people that believe in Christ, not the Jews, okay? That's what it says in the Bible. Let's go to the calls.
We got Gene, Lark, Dan, and Cynthia. So let's get through these calls. Maybe we might have to skip the break, Mike. Pull up Gene in Indiana first. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hey, good evening, guys. How you doing tonight? Good to hear you.
Great.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to address that. You were talking about the that anti-Semitism law that's going through Congress now. And, yeah, it's a slippery slope for sure. But I just wanted to point out, if you guys remember, Donald Trump signed an executive order number 13899, which was combating anti-Semitism. So this thing they're doing now in Congress is actually based on this executive order from 2019, who, you know. So I think it's just another feather in his Zionist cap, you know. I don't think we can trust Trump at all, you know. So he's really showing himself for what it is. And I think this whole Palestinian thing is just really kind of bringing out the worst in some of these guys, so at least we know who's who, you know. Like, everybody thought, oh, Kristi Noem was a good girl, but no, she's signed an anti-Semitism law. You got what's his name from Florida going over, yeah, to Israel signing his law, you know. So you see what I'm saying? So this has all been in the works, like you were saying earlier. This has been in the works a lot earlier than, you know, it just keeps going back to this. So here's a perfect example of this executive order by Trump in 2019.
It's just another stitch. It's another stitch in Trump's yarmulke, isn't it? He's been a hardcore Zionist from the beginning. Nothing's changed. He just happened, right, to agree with certain Jews that didn't want America flooded with immigrants that would be anti-Semitic. And that's what appealed to us. We reached out for anything at all, any political solution that we could grab. And Trump happened to be there talking about immigration in 2015. But really, he's a hardcore Zionist and always was. I mean, Hell's Bells, his daughter married, you know, Jared Kushner, the Chvad Lubavitch person that's connected to
Russia. Yep, exactly. He gave his daughters to him. Yep, you're right. I knew him a long time ago that that's how he was. But just today I run across his executive order and just like, wow, you know, and just there you go.
Yeah.
That's
all great. In all, it's just another brick in the wall. It's just another stitch in the yarmulke. It's just another chicken on the wall.
Yeah. I think we just need to prepare for what's coming. We see it all, you know, with the invaders coming in. I could tell you stories about what I've seen in the workplaces up here in factories, how they're bringing them in by the van load, you know, and replacing us local workers. But I'll call and talk about that some other time. I know you got other callers online. So I appreciate you taking my call tonight.
Yeah, thanks, man. And again, I wish Trump would just come out and, like, remove the mask. I wish Trump would just go slam chickens on the wall and just be open about who he is. It would be easier.
Remember, right? He did some prayers on that wall, if I remember right.
Right.
So, yeah. So Gene, haven't heard from you before, so it's always good to hear from somebody new.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. Coming up next, we got Lark in Texas. Lark in Texas, welcome.
Howdy, gents. I called because I want to drop some keywords on you and your listeners that I think would be useful per our discussion tonight. And I'll do this fast. John MacArthur exposed.blogspot.com. MAC Arthur. John MacArthur exposed.blogspot.com. Just read it. You know, you're going to see things in there about the church growth movement, the communitarianism, Amitai Etzioni and the Kabbalah. You're going to learn about Peter Drucker and total quality management, the role of this tech in all of this. rot. And then I'm going to direct your attention to something called the Synarchy. S-Y-N-A-R-C-H-Y. The Synarchy. WatchUntoPrayer.com. That's hyphenated. Barbara Aho. A-H-O. Read it. Also, the Ultimate World Order According to the Jewish Utopia by Higger. This is written by Williams. The Ultimate World Order by Williams. You can read it. You can read the Union Jack. The Union Jack. It tells you that Christians are the ones that will be leading the charge because they will have been brainwashed. They will be the ones ushering it in. And then finally, I'm going to leave you all with this one. This is something everybody needs to read because you have to understand that they brought in all the social scientists, the behaviorists, the psychologists, the economists, they all get a seat at a table in a communitarian system of governance. And this is what we have been suffering since 9/11 because that was a coup d'etat upon America. But let me pull it up here real quick so you can get the title exactly right. This was written by a crackerjack team of Israeli epidemiologists years ago, but this will lay out precisely how they're going to usher in these hate crimes, so-called. And it's called core values, like one word. Core values, one word, just like loving kindness. There's another word for you. One word, but how is it defined to you today? You know, because they conflate ethics, morality, values, and traditions. This is how they are sucker punching the Christians in this country, and it's sad to witness because people are just not knowledged up. They're just like mushrooms in a cave, living in the dark, Plato's cave. This is titled Core Values, One Word, Incitement and Hate Language, Hate Education, and Their Role in Promotion of Violent Conflict and Atrocity Crimes, an Epidemiological Perspective. Okay, and this is written by some people that were associated with the Jerusalem Center for Genocide Prevention. Remember, that word genocide, gentlemen, was coined by a Jew by the name of Raphael Lemkin. That can be looked up, too. But anyway, I've shot my wad. That's what I've got for y'all tonight.
Yeah, it's fascinating about MacArthur because, you know, he's famous for his study Bibles, and a lot of Christians don't really know anything about him. I mean, he's an intellectual. He has vast historical knowledge, and he's a Reformed Calvinist, but he's basically the Reformed Calvinist version of Schofield.
He's a fraud. He's a fraud. He's on the take. He's in it for the money. There's in my lifetime, I'm 70 years old. I have never seen a televangelist on the TV that's owned by the Jews that was not dirty. What can I tell you? They've all been dirty.
MacArthur can write any kind of book and it goes, it sells in the millions. What's that, William?
What's the blogspot URL again?
Lark? It's called JohnMacArthurExposed.blogspot.com.
Anybody that makes money off this Jewish system, I'm skeptical of. And I'm still investigating into MacArthur, but he makes a lot of money. He's got a huge church. It's, you know, Joel Osteen tier, John Hagee tier type fame. And you don't get to that level unless you've sold out. But he appeals to the Reformed Calvinist crowd. And because traditionally Reformed Calvinists would be replacement theologists. They would not see a position of Israel in the future prophecies. So they would not recognize this current state of Israel as being relevant. But he sort of brought that into vogue. So that's something that I've noticed about him. So I'm still researching that, and I appreciate your criticism of him. But that having been said, you know, you talk about communitarianism, this whole system where your neighbors and your family members can report on you, where people in your community can enforce, you know, the dictates of the false government.
You know how that came about? That came about through JINSA and their LEAP program. You know, the Jewish Institute of National Security Affairs, and with the creation of the Department of Homeland Security, they actually consulted with people like Evgeny Primakov, the Soviet spy chief, then retired, as well as Marcus Wolf, the former head of the East German Stasi. They have perfected what the Stasi did in East Germany. I mean, look at these apps on people's phone called Nextdoor. And there's a whole bunch of them. I mean, people are ratting out their neighbors left and right. This new system of law enforcement requires that the citizenry help the police. And that's what they do. And that's why your local police department is going to be actually a member of your Nextdoor app. You know, wherever you live.
Yeah.
We saw this totally exposed.
Yeah.
We saw it totally exposed in COVID. I'm sorry, we saw it totally exposed in the COVID debacle. You know, where your neighbors and your friends reported you for not wearing a mask or for not getting vaxxed.
That's right. Well, see, now you have to understand that it was environmental law and now public health law. Remember, there's many types of law.
So similarly,
actually swinging us into this new system of communitarian governance, which is one of the main objectives of 9/11 that no one talks about. No one.
So similarly to COVID, now concerning Christians, if you're preaching out of the Bible and you're reading these so-called anti-Semitic passages, the members of your church can report you. They can report the church. They can get the church shut down. Under this new
system. Pretty pathetic. I wouldn't be going to a church. They make my skin crawl just to walk past them, just like a Freemasonic temple or a synagogue or a government building. I'm telling you, the whole system is rotten to the core. And guess what? The Christians were helpful in making it happen.
Agreed.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the info. I shared a couple of links, The Ultimate World Order by Robert A. Williams, okay? And then the other one, John MacArthur Exposed.blogspot.com.
So we got Dan and Cynthia coming up next. Let's go to Dan, if you will, William. Dan in Washington, welcome.
Thanks. I called about China. But real quick, Theodore Herzl, in that book, The Jewish State, he defined anti-Semitism or anti-Semites as people that don't like to be controlled by Jews. So I've used that, and I just say, okay, I'm an anti-Semite, you know. Like, I just admit to be an anti-Semite, and if people just say, okay, I'm an anti-Semite, there you go.
You just own the insult.
Yeah, exactly. Make it cool to be an anti-Semite.
You're a criminal. How about that one? If you're not an anti-Semite, you are a criminal.
There you go. That's what people, and this will actually help force people to do that. So it's kind of, you know, it's weird. I mean, I don't know what that's kind of leads me to China, like Patrick Slattery's commercial. I'd rather be ran by Chinamen than Jews, but they're making them sell TikTok. So I think we might get help from foreign governments. I'm just curious. What do you guys think China? Because China in their media is actually talking about Jewish control of America. And Russia and Iran, they're going to start really just. You're going to see a lot of, like, international us that Jews were ran by Jews, basically, you know?
Since the Ukraine war, where the West tried to put sanctions on Russia and it failed, it actually backfired, and it hurt the West. And now, you know, China is becoming a global dominant government. And they're going to implement the Belt and Road Initiative, where they're going to do massive amount of trade between Eurasia and Africa. pulling the resources and elements out of Africa that they can make money off of. The whole thing is shifting to Eurasia, and the West is going to be left out in the cold. So I think what I think, Dan, is that Israel as a geographic location, the greater Israel in specific, is a choke point. You know, you can't run physical trade from Eurasia to Africa without going through the greater Israel. And so Israel is going to have to be brought to the table to negotiate. And I think Israel is going to, I think the Jews are going to want to try to get on the good side of China and even try to infiltrate them if possible. And I don't think they're already infiltrated. I think it's a thing that's going to be future. I mean, because a Chinaman and a Jew don't look anything alike. So it's much harder to infiltrate China than it is Europeans. But no, it's not going to stop them. You know, the physiological differences is not going to stop them. You know, the Jews are going to try to leverage. They're going to try to use their geographical position as leverage.
Hey, Jeremy, let's get to Cynthia. Sorry, Dan, but can we get to Cynthia? I've never heard of Cynthia before. I don't know who she is. I'd like to hear her call.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, Dan.
Last call of the night, Cynthia. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hi. I have some German heritage, and I'm in my late 60s. And I'm relatively well-read, but I just heard within the last year or so that there was this huge Holocaust in Germany after World War II, after the German army put down their arms. And it was a Holocaust of German civilians and prisoners of war. And I think we should take that information and run with it and cram the Holocaust down the throats and up the hineys of the Jews.
Yeah, because that's what we've been doing for the last 3 years since I've been doing that. That's my focus.
Forgive me. I didn't hear what you said. It broke up.
I've been doing it. I think what you said is to expose the Holocaust of the Germans, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing for the last 3 years on the station. That's been my primary focus.
Oh. I was listening to a physician named Leonard Caldwell, who's German and became an American citizen, and he was being interviewed on Jeff Rintz. And that's the first place I heard it.
Hey, Cynthia, listen to my show tomorrow, on the same time, the Punch Bowl, if you're not busy. You can catch in the archive.
Okay, I have one more comment, and it's on the next to the last caller about us being expected to cooperate with the police. And in the opinion of a constitutional scholar, G.R. Mobley of ReclaimingTheRepublic.org, a standing army, meaning a group of people who are there 24/7, trained, armed, 364 days a year, is a standing army, and that is not permitted under the Constitution.
Absolutely agreed. But our Constitution isn't even relevant. Thank you for your call.
What would you say?
Thanks, William, my friend. See you tomorrow night on the Punch Bowl.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
For itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly.
The new Ease-Off Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The Ease-Off lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the Ease-Off? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com, EAZEOFF.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. Ease-Off LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.